Let me invite you to take your Bibles and open to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 2. I love the Gospel of Mark because it is a book of action. And right away, beginning at the very first chapter, you see Jesus in action. Come to chapter 2 and we read about one of the first miracles that Jesus performed, and it is an extraordinary miracle. Jesus is preaching, teaching in a house, and the crowds are everywhere around this house trying to listen to Jesus. And four friends bring their lame friend to Jesus to be healed. And when they come to the house, the Scripture tells us they cannot get to Jesus because of the press, because there are so many people there. So these friends are not deterred by that. Instead, they go up onto the roof of the house and they rip the roof off of the house so that they can make a hole to lower this lame man down in front of Jesus. Now, let me tell you something about that roof. That was not a roof like this. It was a flat roof. And in Palestine, as well as in Kenya, our roofs become a balcony, another living space, usually for laundry and other types of things. So it's a floor that they're breaking through. It's hard plaster, mud, what have you, that they have to break through to lower this. It's an incredible effort that these friends go to lower their friend to Jesus. And Jesus heals this lame man. We think of that story, and it's one of my favorite stories. And sometimes, if we're not careful, we hear such an amazing story that we can miss something that seems mundane or ordinary in the Scriptures. And what immediately follows the story of the healing of the lame man is what I want to look at, because it's ordinary. And I think we can miss some important lessons there. So let me ask you, Mark chapter 2, I want to begin reading in verse number 12 and read through verse number 17 to look at what happens immediately after the healing of this lame man. Verse number 12 says, "And immediately he," this is the lame man, "arose, took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. And he," Jesus, "went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And here in this passage, verse number 17, Jesus Christ is giving us his purpose statement, his reason for being on the earth. And I want to submit to you this evening that it's not just Jesus' purpose statement. This is the reason why every born-again Christian remains on the earth after their salvation. Let me just condense Jesus' words here to give us a nice, concise purpose statement. Verse number 17, towards the end, we could say, "I come to call sinners to repentance." That's what I'd like to speak on this evening. Let's ask the Lord to help us in these next few minutes. Our Heavenly Father, I do pray that as we take a few minutes to look at this passage, that you would use me as your instrument to communicate this important message of the purpose statement of Christians. And Lord, may we recognize not only our purpose, but may we also recognize how to accomplish that purpose. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Slagle, when the Lord first called me to pastoral ministry, my pastor, my senior pastor, as I was an assistant, sat down with me one of the first few days I came on staff, and we talked about my job description as an assistant pastor. Now, you know a job description as an assistant pastor? Mike, I should be talking to you about that. It's many hats. Many, many hats. And so we started to talk about the job description. And my pastor said to me, "Now, I expect you to be in church service on Sundays." I said, "Yeah, I understand that." He said, no, you don't understand. He said, "I expect you to be there, but that's not what you get paid for." Are you with me on this? How many people think, well, the pastor's here because he gets paid for it? And my senior pastor said, "You're not getting paid to be there on church, to be at church on Sunday. You're not getting paid to teach the Sunday school class. You're not getting paid to be in charge of the bus ministry." Then he went on to say, "You're expected to be at Thursday night visitation." We had Thursday night visitation. I said, "Okay, I understand that." He said, "No, you don't." He said, "You're expected to be there, but you're not getting paid to be there for Thursday night visitation." He said, "As a pastor, I expect you to work 40 hours a week. And there's things you need to do, but you're not going to get paid, and you can't count as that 40 hours the things we expect other people in the church to be doing for free." Are you with me? How many people do you know think, well, that's the pastor's job? And my pastor was teaching me as a brand new young kid out of college, this is your job. That's not what pastors do. It's what Christians do. That's what Jesus was saying. I am come to call sinners to repentance. It's not the pastor's job. It's not the missionary's job. It's the Christian's job. Are you with me? Okay. Now, let me just be real bold here as a missionary and tell you that the most important thing that missionaries need are for churches to be doing what missionaries are doing. If churches stop doing what missionaries are doing, the churches will soon stop supporting the missionary. The churches will stop praying for the missionary. So what does the church need to be doing? What does the missionary need to be doing? What Christians need to be doing? What Jesus did. I am come to call sinners to repentance. Now, having presented that to you, say, okay, I'm in agreement with you. But how do we do that? Let's take a look at what Jesus did, because this is so important for us to understand. It tells us, verse number 13. "And Jesus went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them." So here's the question we need to ask tonight. What was Jesus' job on that day? What was Jesus' plan? What was Jesus' agenda? Well, he came out of the house having healed this lame man, and it says he walked down by the seaside and great multitudes followed him, and he taught them, and he taught them all day. That was Jesus' plan. That was Jesus' agenda. We could say that was his job for the day. But what I want to point out to you, something real ordinary that so often we miss, is that wasn't the only thing Jesus did that day. Notice verse number 14. It says, "And as he passed by, he saw Levi the son of Alphaeus sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, Follow me." Did you catch that? How simple. How ordinary. That Jesus was busy about his business by the seaside, teaching the multitudes. But as he was walking by, simply passing by a stranger on the side of the road, he took just a few seconds to say, follow me. And the end of the verse says, and he followed him. Can I tell you that's how people come to Christ? Not of their own accord, but of someone inviting them to Jesus. And it doesn't have to be a great big evangelistic crusade. It doesn't have to be at the planned time that the church goes out on visitation. It's simply all of us looking to those who we pass by. Think with me for a moment. Who do you pass by in your normal day-to-day life that most of the time you just don't even think about? I'm sure all of us, as soon as I said that, somebody comes to mind. Yeah, I pass by the service station attendant. You know, we put in our cards, we pump we pay at the pump, and we never go inside. We just pass by. We now have self-checkout. We don't have to talk to people. And I don't know about you, sometimes I think, this is great, I don't have to interact with people. But Jesus interacted as he passed by. Now let me tell you something about this man, Levi. The Bible tells us he was Levi, the son of Alphaeus. He became one of the disciples. But this was not Jesus calling him to be a disciple, one of the 12. This was simply Jesus calling him to be a follower like all those in the multitudes. His call to salvation. And Levi was sitting in this receipt of custom. I doubt if you remember in the video, but in Kenya we have a lot of these little booths along the side of the road. They're simply four sticks that have been put into the mud, and they wrap it either with some plastic they find or some corrugated tin sheets, whatever they can find, maybe some branches of palm leaves or banana leaves or something. Something that's going to give shade and kind of contain, and then somebody sits there and sells stuff. In our neighborhood, they're selling produce. Pineapples, bananas, tomatoes, potatoes, onions. And we go out walking, we pass by these little booths all the time, and almost every time we go for a walk, my wife remembers, oh, I need to get something. Well, there it is, one of these little booths. Levi was sitting in one of those booths, but nobody wanted to go to his booth because he was the tax collector. And so he sat there probably day after day as people passed by, ignoring him, maybe looking the other way. He was one of the unlovely people in the community. Yet Jesus, though he had something else, a big job to do, teaching the multitudes, for a couple of seconds, when he passed by Levi, he said, follow me. And Levi followed him. Can I tell you that the job of Christians is simply to invite people to Jesus who we pass by? If we'll do that, you know, can I tell you something? The church house will be full. If we do that, we're going to be sending missionaries from this church all over the world. If we do that, we're going to see a great change in our community if we will simply invite those to Jesus who we pass by. I was sharing with the men in the Sunday school class this morning, talking about answers to prayer, and God gave me a big answer to prayer. And I can't tell you the whole story about it, but I went car shopping this week. I had to buy a car for one of my daughters. And the Lord answered multiple prayers in finding just the car for her. But as we're sitting there, you know, you got to sign on the dotted line, you got to pay for it, talking with the dealer. And he was talking about how, you know, you got to do good to your fellow man. You got to help people get on the right way. He didn't tell me what the right way was. But I could tell that this was a man, I thought he was a young man, found out he was much older than I thought he was. But he was a good moral person. But he didn't know Jesus. Now, I had been sharing my testimony with him, how God was I had been praying about shopping for a car, and maybe God was using him to answer that prayer. So I had started a religious conversation. We didn't really get to Jesus. I did invite him to church. He's supposed to come. So I'm excited about it. Found out he has teenagers. They're supposed to come to our teen outreach this week. And I will be following up on him. Can I tell you something? That never would have happened because it wasn't on my agenda to go soul winning at the car dealership. But it was in my activities for the day that as I was passing by, I'm going to invite someone to Jesus. And that's our job. Simply to extend the invitation. Now, as we think about this, I want to really encourage you. Because what happened when Jesus invited Levi to follow him? Well, we see in verse number 14, he did! Glory to God! But can I tell you, it goes even further than that. Notice verse number 15. It says, and it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, whose house? It was Levi's house. This story is recorded in both Matthew and Luke as well as Mark. And in Luke chapter 5, it tells us that Levi prepared a great feast for Jesus. Do you think he was excited that someone paid attention to him? Do you think he was happy that someone noticed him as they passed by? This was life-changing for Levi. Do we ever stop to think that we are changing not just a life, but an eternal destiny when we stop to invite people to Jesus? And when we pass by, we are doing nothing to affect that change. But Levi was so excited with what Jesus did that he prepared a great feast. Not only did he prepare a great feast, but look at verse number 15. It says, and it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples. So Jesus invited one person to follow him. That one person invited all of his friends, all of his work associates, come, meet Jesus. Come to my house for a banquet. Jesus is going to be there, and you can meet Jesus. Wow, we don't know the effect of inviting one person to Christ, how many lives it will reach, how many others will be impacted by that one life. Well, the verse goes on to say, for there were many publicans and sinners, and they followed him. So Jesus invites Levi. Levi follows Jesus. Levi invites his friends. Jesus eats with his friends. And all of Levi's friends follow Jesus also. Where is this going to stop? Isn't this exciting? Well, it stops. Brother Halstead, you don't seem to understand. There's certain people that are not allowed in this church. We were in a missions conference years ago when the Lord first called us to missions. We sat down with the pastor to have a missionary interview. And the pastor begins by telling us, by the way, church in the South. He says, this church pulled out of the Southern Baptist Convention. I said, oh, wonderful. It's an independent Baptist church. He said, I'll tell you why it pulled out. The Southern Baptists decided to integrate white and black churches, and this church didn't want to do that. I'm a missionary going to an African country. What am I doing here? They didn't take me on. But that's the type of people that there's certain people that aren't allowed. You know, we're not going to have a bus ministry because we don't want the dirty kids, the kids from dysfunctional homes coming to this church. You know, there's people with needs. We have Reformers Unanimous here? We don't. We did at one time. Okay. But, you know, we're not equipped to help those people. So don't bring them here. Now, we're not going to say that, but there's people that think that. And there was people that thought that when Jesus was around. Notice verse number 16. And when the scribes and the Pharisees saw him, Jesus, eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? The scribes and Pharisees, they were supposed to be the religious leaders of the day. They were the ones, the Pharisees were supposed to have memorized the complete Old Testament. Yet, no, we can't have publicans and sinners around us. Jesus, this isn't the way religion is done. So Jesus shared his purpose statement. I am come to call sinners to repentance. I mentioned this to the men this morning. No, I didn't. I mentioned this to Pastor as we're fellowshipping this afternoon. We need to understand that the Christian life is all integrated together. So often as Christians we think, well, I want this part of Christianity because that's nice, and I want this part of Christianity because that's nice, but you know, this is too hard, so I'm going to not take that, and this is, you know, it's unbecoming, so I'm not going to do that. And we try and pick and choose what we want from Christianity, and then we wonder, why doesn't it make sense? And a lot of people look at Christianity and say, it doesn't make sense, because we haven't embraced all that Jesus gave us. When you embrace all of it, it makes sense. But the Pharisees, they were these that picked and chose. So they said, Jesus, we can't have these people. One of the darkest days in my ministry, I was a pastor. And I can't remember the whole story. I wish I could. I wish I remembered the results. But one Sunday morning, I was standing up toward the front of the church auditorium right before church started. And an older couple came into the church. They were charter members of the church. They came about halfway down the aisle, and they sat about halfway down the aisle on this side. And when they came down there, the lady looked, and a visitor was sitting in their spot. And she told them so. You're sitting in our seat. And they made the people, the visitors, move so that they could sit in their spot. I wish I knew what happened. I don't believe that the visitors ever returned to church. I know I had to go to these charter members, older couple in the church. I say, that's not how we do it here. If you want to have your seat, get here early. Okay? But we're not selling seats, and we want visitors to feel welcome. As we pass by people, as we invite people to Jesus, be encouraged, we don't know where it's going to go. We don't know how many lives it's going to reach. But also be warned, there will be people that will not like it. There will be people that get offended. They'll call you a fanatic. What are you doing? Trying to prove something to people, bringing those people to our church? But don't worry about that, because we are following Jesus. And we are fulfilling our purpose statement. I am come to call sinners to repentance. Still thinking about that person you pass by? Maybe the Holy Spirit would be pressing upon your heart tomorrow or sometime this week to not just pass by, but even if it's just a few seconds, invite them to Jesus. Have a gospel tract. Invite them to church. Stop and ask their name, whatever it takes, but let's not just pass by as the multitudes do. But let's follow the example of Jesus. Can we pray together?